With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, Arrow. How about you?
Absolutely fantastic. I love the way that you can take a storyline, divide it up into five different pieces, and create a beautiful walk through my imagination. I mean, I just love the way that you did this with The Night of Many Endings.
Thank you, Arrow. I really appreciate that.
And it all starts because of a blizzard. And that's what's amazing about this, because I'm from the state of Montana. I've been through many blizzards, and it's like, wow, what would I have done if I would have been trapped at the library because of a blizzard? I was trapped at a radio station one time, but I was the only one there.
Ooh, that sounds like the start of a good book.
Yeah, me and my listeners on the phone then. That yeah, right.
Yes, I think that
Continue, please.
Snowstorms make for really great beginnings of stories, right? Or any sort of a situation that strands you somewhere, and like being at a radio station, but that strands you somewhere because it takes you out of your element. It takes you out of what we're comfortable with, and then what happens?
So now, what was this inspired by, an actual snowstorm, or are you? Do you live someplace that does have the snow?
I do. I live in Colorado,
nice.
And I have lived through a very similar storm. I was stranded for a week without light or without electricity or heat. 7 feet of snow. We couldn't even see our cars, and we only got out when we were able to snowshoe down a front end loader to dig us out. So yes, I have lived through this. Wasn't quite as exciting, but it definitely gave me the feel of what it's like to be trapped. You know that feeling. That is something that is unique to experience, and it's been fun talking to readers and other folks about their own experiences too.
Yeah, because I mean, when you get trapped into a situation like that, you go through every single emotion possible, and you know you can use as much meditation as you want. You're still going to fear. You're still going to go through all the different things, and you're going to find yourself more in the past than you are in the present.
Exactly. Yes.
To bring this book to life, I can't imagine what kind of emotional exchanges that you went through, because each one of these characters are their own self.
Yes. It was a really good experience for me. Some of these characters were hard for me to write. I couldn't relate to their choices. I couldn't necessarily personally relate to how they might interact with another character. Sometimes I didn't like the way they wanted to interact with another character, but I knew it was true to this particular person. And I also didn't want to cheapen any sort of way any of these characters were perceived by just, you know, not showing the depth of them. Marlene was a hard character for me to write at first, because she said things that I wouldn't want to hear, but I wanted to explore why she said those and where they came from, instead of just dismissing her as a mean person.
How did you do the exploring? I mean, did you become an instant people watcher and step outside out of Starbucks and just start watching?
I think as writers, we're all observers,
and that
goes for all of our, just in daily life, people you know, people you don't, in our relationships within ourselves. I think you have to be an observer, and you have to really look deeper at people to understand motivation and character. And so I think it just comes from me. Just, I have people, you know, maybe there might be people like that I've known or in my life, or that. And so I have was able to bring some of that in.
Well, see, that's okay. That explains why Jasmine and Lewis and even Marlene, you know, came to me as a reader as like a portrait of reality. Because, I mean, you really did put your thoughts into that.
And that's really important to me, the whole idea of very real characters. Yes, this is fiction, but I think real life is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I personally like to see how real I can make my fiction, even if some of my books have had ghosts and stuff in it, but this one does not. But even if I can be able to just show within their circumstance in this story, what is real, because I think, like I said, even in the imperfections and the not great, not the perfect endings or not the perfect people, there is true beauty. So that is what I like to explore within characters.
And subliminally, don't you think that also teaches readers to, you know, don't judge so quickly. Get to know the person first.
Absolutely. But isn't that's so hard?
I know.
And I mean, I'm going to be the first to say it's hard for me. And it is a practice. We have to really stop and remind ourselves to ask a question. Maybe don't assume that person is exactly who you think they are because they said something even, but maybe stop and ask a question.
Yeah, because you deal with that with the person of homelessness. And it's because, I mean, what does the average person do when they see that? They try to walk around it. Or there are some that will go up and try to help. I mean, but everybody has a different reaction.
Yes. Years ago, I volunteered in a soup kitchen in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, there were a couple of the homeless men that we were all sitting around chatting. And this one man said to me, and I've never forgotten it, but he said, you know, some people think they don't want to look at us, and they'll walk by and they just won't look. And he goes, honestly, there are days that I just wish somebody would look at me, mm-hmm, rather than just giving me a dollar. Just acknowledge that I exist. And that was powerful to me.
That is so true. And I've also worked at a soup kitchen, the men's shelter. And the thing is, we had game night one night. I learned so much by playing games with these men. And it was amazing.
Yeah. I think oftentimes with the homeless population, we want to just believe that they're people apart from us, mm-hmm, because it makes us feel better. Because it's so hard. And I say this, by the way, coming from, like, I have felt these ways at times. Like, it's just feelings you have to overcome. And but they're us.
Yep, absolutely.
They are us that have gone on a different path. We're all the same. And it's hard to bring that to light on the page. I hope I did that well with Lewis, because he was a really important character for me. Mm-hmm. He has an entire history. He's got reasons he made decisions. Do we agree with those decisions? Not necessarily. Would we have liked for him to make different decisions? Of course.
Yeah.
But this is the person he is at this moment. And it doesn't mean he can't have a different future.
And see, and everybody,
it doesn't make him less than.
And everybody begins to hear their stories, though, right there at a library. What made you choose a library of all things?
I think libraries are they're community centers,
yep,
right? They're just they're places of knowledge, free for everyone. It doesn't say, oh, you need to have a degree to come in here. you need to be a certain person. No, come in here. This knowledge is for you. And in so doing, the space of a library then is for everyone. And because of that, many libraries have faced a lot of challenges. With homelessness, with opioid addictions, mm-hmm, that have kind of overrun spaces, and librarians have been put into kind of frontline work to figure out how do we still keep this library place for everyone, but also serve both populations of people.
You are so.
So I just think they're fascinating places.
Oh, so right about that. There's two libraries around me, and it's just to go in there and people watch, and where I go in there and just watch characters is what I do, because there's always a story somewhere, and I always want to find it.
Absolutely.
Especially on election day when we have to go vote at a library. Oh my goodness, boy, that library has got to feel so good to have that many people in there. But it's amazing what I mean, because people staring at the books, they stare at the cassettes, they stare at the DVDs, and it's like their personalities are like, it's been so many years since I've seen one of these. You kind of come to the library, you'll see it every day.
They are neat places, and plus the different architecture. This library, yeah, that was in The Night of Many Endings was modeled off of the Carnegie libraries. There were at one point 3,500, I think, of those spread across the U.S. in small towns. And they were just like miniature, formal, distinctive type of architecture. We had at one point 35 in Colorado alone.
Wow.
And to this day, I can't remember how many, but a handful still operate as libraries.
Wow. Melissa.
I
was going to say, you got to come back to this show in the future, because, I mean, I want to hear about the way that you research. I want to hear, because, I mean, it's going to inspire writers to come out of their hiding corners and really start putting on display. I mean, you're one of those writers that really is an inspiration to creative people.
That's very kind of you to say. Thank you.
You bet.
I'm inspired by creative people, too, as well, all the time.
Absolutely. So please come back to this show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
Thank you, Arrow. I'd love to.